60, and you'll be contacted within 24 hours of the next business day to arrange for your free and easy vehicle pickup. Thank you for supporting 90.1 KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
Listeners should be aware that the following program contains language and audio images which may be found disturbing and may not be suitable for your snotty-nosed little brat who probably cusses like a sailor behind your back anyway. Parental discretion is advised.
The song ends. Now the show can begin.
Greetings. This is where the show starts.
Greetings, program.
Obscure reference. Obscure reference.
Greetings.
Hello.
Is my mic even
Yazoo.
On?
Yazoo. Have you got your Yazoo Philos.
Are my headphones even on? Am I even in the studio?
I can hear you.
Is this a dream?
Who are you people?
It's a Google Dream.
Deep Dream.
We're going to Google Deep Dream show.
Yes.
Audio.
Eyeballs yes, everywhere.
Eyeballs for everyone.
Welcome Eyeballs to and puppy faces.
Babble fishing things. It just gets weirder and weirder with every iteration.
Right, exactly. Welcome to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
Perfect show.
Robot Lee.
Yes, I will do all show like this from now on.
God, how
danger. Danger. Danger, Jay Lee.
Please.
I don't know if that's shtick or if we should actually be worried.
If Lee
sarcasm detected.
If Lee is the embodiment of Skynet, we're pretty much safe.
We're cool. Stand down.
Rise of the machine somethings. All right, so we're glad you could tune in. Welcome to the show. You can visit us online at geekradio.com. Geekradio.com. And
not you too.
it's a virus. And you can also hang out with us on IRC, irc.cuckoo.com.
Cuckoo.
in the channel Tech Bites. We are there. It's the show within a show. It's where you can say what you really think and not have to worry about much. Really. Honest and truly. I did not charge my laptop battery too much before I came, so I'm living on the edge.
Do you want to take my plug?
Oh, plug me.
Buddy Breathe. Is that the same
Does
style?
Does my plug need your plug?
Come to the glue room.
My plug might not. Oh, my plug's old style.
Yeah, that's what.
Oh, no.
Oh, we
I've tried to leech power off Jay before, and it didn't go.
Need an adapter.
Your primitive power source will not work here.
It's all right. I got 57%. If I don't run Chrome.
Oh, on that, you're fine.
If I run Chrome, I'm not fine.
Is that a Haswell? That's a Haswell one, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the newer ones.
You're fine.
Fire up links.
Turn your brightness down.
That's an Eddie Haskell, right?
Yeah, you got one of them Haskell laptops?
That's a very nice piece of
hardware. Processor's looking lovely tonight.
That's a very nice piece of hardware, Mr. Lee.
Well, thank you for loading that program on me, Mr. Lee. Oh, man, we're all old enough to get it. Awesome.
Speaking of old enough, you got to hang out and rub some shoulders and take some pictures of some subversives. A subversive.
Well, you know, Jello Biafra was in town and hanging out at the Continental Club most of this weekend in celebration of their 15th anniversary. So,
Pound Dead Kennedys.
Huh?
In Pound Dead Kennedys.
In Pound Dead Kennedys, okay.
Hanging out.
So I was hanging out with Jello Biafra. That was awesome.
He had a little bit of overlap because he took on Tipper Gore and a little bit of Oprah on the Oprah show over, the labeling of CDs and, you know, music and stuff like that, which had a little bit of overlap with the gaming industry a handful of years later when Jack Valenti and everyone came after and said, hey, you must rate the games.
Who won that?
I think there's a compromise. I know at one point you can actually go back and like watch the video of Jello on Oprah, and Oprah just like gives this, you know, like wave to the neck and just boom, no more Jello. It just, for the rest of the show, it's like the power of editing.
For Jello.
I'm sure he went on a 45-minute tirade, but none of it made it to air.
Done now. Yes. Go away now.
You win a car. You win a car. Jello, no car.
No car. There's nothing under your seat.
You win a car. Everybody gets a car. Jello gets a holiday in Cambodia.
Oprah's people can make it happen. Maybe not then, but they could do it now.
No, it was all right. You know, Jello's definitely mellowed and fattened with age like we all have. So it was good to see him. It was a good time at the club, the Continental Club, celebrating 15 years. Pete Gordon down there and Steve Wertheimer, the owner of the original Continental Club. They were proclaimed that Saturday was Pete Gordon Day, a proclamation from the mayor, because nice. All the work they've done there beautifying our city.
They've anchored that whole area,
they have.
Arguably.
It's become quite the thing, so if you haven't had a chance to go down to 3600 block of Main and see what they're doing down there.
What's that rail stop?
Ensemble. Buy some wax,
it's
get your
ACC,
haircut.
The Houston Ensemble, Continental yep. Club stop.
Ensemble.
Oh, thing. Nice.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Yeah, not so much for the Houston Community College.
Yeah,
no, it's
all.
The Houston Continental Club stop.
HCC.
It's closer.
It's Houston Continental Club is closer than HCC. It's closer to having a good time, too. All right. So anyway, IRC, geekradio.com. Somebody out there emailed me and said he was going to call in, and he had a great question I thought would make a great discussion on the air about what to do about the email and social media accounts of deceased relatives.
Now, hold
Ooh,
on.
That is a good question.
That means Group Krause may have to answer the phone.
He may see the phone ring.
Should have set it up.
You
should have set up that call and had them call in at a certain time.
I told him to call after 8:30. Hmm. So
two rings hang up. One
right.
ring
call back.
They have to mean it. We will test the result.
If he doesn't call, he's about 70 years old. He might already be in bed. But right. He said he was going to call. He said he might call. If he does, we'll take the call. If he doesn't, I want to have that conversation in the half hour, between the first, the second half hour, the first hour,
huh.
Or something like that.
On anyway. The first Friday after the second Thursday,
Tuesday,
under the Gregorian calendar, right. And depending on when Eid is, if you've been listening to Arab Voices.
Oh, we.
I missed that. Jay turns down the radio.
Great.
We have important stuff.
Jay, meet the bus.
We're busy doing
we have to talk
show
about stuff. Show preparations, like, you know, sharing licked its beverages and talking about Barrett's network exploits. And
where'd you get that sandwich?
Well, it's important stuff, you know. We do the important stuff here.
Lee looks mad at his computer.
Lee looks upset. He just double-birded his MacBook Air.
Wow. His MacBook Air is number two, cumulatively.
iCloud-related issues, which is just...
Have we talked about the BBC TV show Humans?
I have been recording it. I have not watched it. Do we want
to... I magically somehow managed to get a hold of the first three episodes.
Magically?
Yeah, by the power of the internet.
And I spelled magic T-O-R.
That's dot T-O-R-R.
You got it to rent?
But it's really good.
I've never heard that. That's awesome.
Is this available to rent?
Yeah, it's very, very reasonably priced.
So, okay, so we're going to not go to the news just yet and let you... Apparently, I have not seen it, so please don't spoil anything. What do you think? I've been recording
it. It's good.
I've been recording it.
I mean, I'm three episodes in, and I think they've done six episodes so far. I think six have come out.
This is a TV show about artificial life forms that are like house servants. And...
It's set in like kind of like an alternate near future, but possible, but kind of current times, but kind of alternate
or whatever. Ex Machina TV series or
I didn't watch that movie, but it's kind of like iRobot or something.
I'm not tuning in because I haven't watched the show. I know what y'all are talking about.
Does it have Will Smith or Jude Law?
No, no, but it does have William Hurt in it.
Although I've heard in the fourth episode, Ultron like takes over. and then Skynet's in the fifth.
So is it's.
It's so the idea is that they've basically they've advanced robot and knowledge technology enough that they can create realistic or semi-realistic humans that are called synths, and they have their eyes look a little different because they kind of glow, usually green, but there's different colors, but.
It's a trigger.
You can kind of tell, and they're not fluid. Like their movements aren't exactly fluid.
They're somewhat mechanical or robotic.
Yes, they don't have any like kind of sentience, so to speak, like consciousness. Except evidently that one of the creators at some point decided to, I guess, not install. Some of the blocking software and Asimov's rules and some other stuff to like these five. And so they're somehow self-aware, at least on some level, maybe not completely outside of their programming, but more so they can experience things and whatever. And then of course there's like a whole modding culture that's involved. And like, so they call it head cracking when like people are trying to hack into them. And there's like, modding culture is like underground modding culture where they get stolen and people will reprogram them. So it's kind of it's a story, first of all, about a family that gets one, and it's one of the ones that's sentient that's been like repurposed. But it's kind of about those five or maybe six that are doing that, where they're trying to figure out, they're kind of hanging around together. Bad things are happening to them because they're being hunted, and the humans are starting to realize that there's these certain ones that are different than the rest of them, and they're trying to figure out why and what the deal is. And anyway, I think it's been really well done and visually good. The story is good. The characters are interesting.
Can you reprogram them to rob banks in South Africa? Talk with Zephlo.
I don't know. They did program one of the female ones to work in the service industry.
Food service.
She's cybered?
Yes.
Lunch lady, okay.
But the problem is that, you know, the rest of them, they don't know any better, but she's still sentient, and so she's having to fake it like she's one of them. And this really, really upsets her after a while that she's being treated that way.
Malfunction. Danger.
So she kind of goes rogue in a different way than the rest of them.
All right, don't give away too much.
Yeah, you are. You are
And then I haven't seen the fourth episode.
Good. At least I have that to look forward to. So, okay.
Humans.
But I recommend it. If you can, you know, stomach find it and legally watch it.
Thanks, man.
We should get some AI up in here. Maybe second part of the show.
I would like that.
Maybe reruns.
All right. Well, welcome to Technology Bites.
you said you DVR'd it.
Huh?
You said you DVR'd it.
I have DVR'd it. I just haven't got around to watching it because I thought it might be...
That's legal.
Yeah.
There you go.
What do you think he was talking about?
Well, I do have television. I have not cut the cable, so I'm paying through the nose for broadcast television.
But is it on BBC America, or what are you getting it from? What channel?
I can't remember what channel it's airing
on. Because it's like BBC Channel 4 or something, I think is what
it's
on.
Well, you probably got it from the source. It's been resourced onto BBC America, and it's...
That's what I'm wondering, if it was on BBC America.
If it's a BBC show, then it's on BBC America.
Okay.
So I'm getting that.
Some of the cable content providers are cutting the cables. Like, I've noticed that Showtime is now giving, and you've got to pay for it, it's extra premium, but Showtime, I believe, is on Hulu. And then I think, did HBO Go already launch, where you can just watch HBO without having to have an HBO cable subscription and cable box?
If it hasn't, then it's about to, yeah.
Yeah, that's just right around the corner. So that'll open up doors, because up until now, you kind of had to be, not creative, but I mean, you had to be creative.
You had to have cable
yeah.
in order to watch anything out, you know, unless you waited and bought whole seasons all together.
Several times I thought about ordering cable and not actually installing anything, just so I'd have the account that I could type in and say, yes, I have a cable account, so I can stream whatever online.
Why didn't you?
Things are changing. Because they're starting to offer it all for pay now, you know, Showtime, HBO. So
$50 you don't need to spend.
Mm-hmm.
All right, welcome to Technology Bites. And we're going to do the Technology Bites info shot now. So take it away. Info shot.
It's the Technology Bites Info Shot. Technology news and commentary by Peter Hughes. Injected directly into your skull.
Well, due to rampant piracy, it's finally happened. There's a website called Chilling Effects, and they have a report that's the DMCA takedown notices. And for the movie Jurassic World, they would like Google to take down 127.0.0.1. So everybody with that IP address needs to just, you know, take down your computers. And the copyright claim is, that it's a movie, that the movie Jurassic World was at 127.0.0.1. So for those of you who don't, you know, now that the geeks have gotten the joke, that's the, like, that's the address of your own computer. That's sort of the automatic root address that it just uses. That's sort of itself. And all computers, pretty much, if they have internet, they have that address. So anyway, so now you know why that was supposed to be funny. In not so funny bug news, recently disclosed bug in OpenSSH. That's where you shell into like a Unix type computer. Used to remotely access internet-facing computers and servers, allows attackers to make thousands of password guesses in a short period of time, which is a defect that obviously could open systems to password cracking, according to a security researcher. The researcher goes by the name King Cope, wrote in a blog post published last week that under normal circumstances, OpenSSH, obviously it's fairly secure, you know, people try to secure it pretty well, because it's the way into your server, the command line way into your server. Normally, it'll only allow 3 or 6 login attempts before closing a connection. But this recently discovered vulnerability allows attackers to perform thousands of requests during an open login window, which by default lasts for 2 minutes. As a result, attackers who cycle through the most commonly used passwords face much better odds of finding the right one, because they can try a lot, they can make a lot more attempts before the login shuts them down. The deal is that, I've actually seen this on my servers. I have a thing where, you know, if you have a certain number of incorrect guesses on trying to log in, that it firewalls you for a period of time. And when I've looked at the logs, the reports that come out, there are people who've tried SSH over and over again. And I could never figure out why. So, of course, I just turned SSH off, and I only turn it on when I need it. But this would explain, if this exploit is out there, this would explain why people were able to make lots of attempts on logging into to SSH. The code, it's pretty simple. There's like there's a quick little sentence you can type in. And if you go to geekradio.com on the front page, there are links to all the different stories that we may or may not use during the show. So you can read up if you want to read deeper on it. OpenSSH, most of the time people want to use cryptographic key pairs as opposed to just password authentication. But, you never know. There's still plenty of people who could be brute forced by something like this. And so that's never good to hear. And at least if you've heard about it and you know somebody who's running servers, ask them about it and see. Because the bug goes back to as far as, 2007. The exploit worked against as early a version of OpenSSH as the one included in a 2007 release of FreeBSD. In other news, this one is news about the news, not about this news, but about other news. It's an article from Wired, and it says that Starbucks may be a big player in the future of news. And what it is
we seem to have lost Pete. The internet has grabbed him and pulled him into its depths.
Whatever's going wrong with Lee's computer and server is probably affecting Pete's connection to the show.
My iCloud two-factor authentication problem has stolen Pete away from us. Damn you, Apple.
All right, well, we'll work on... I was walking through, went out to get something to drink, and I was coming back in the studio, and I thought... Now is the time for Flicted's computer to apply an update or something. I'll just keep that to myself.
Is that what happened? And Flicted, then, did your computer try to apply
Flicted
an update?
Flicted also has two-factor authentication.
Flicted's frantically trying to get Pete back, trying to summon him up from the depths of the
internet. Oh,
that's
our AI that'll join us here in a bit. We're trying to get it configured.
Man, he's right in the middle of all kinds of cool stuff here.
Yeah.
I don't know if
you hear you again.
Whoa, it's Pete! Return!
Where did we lose you?
I don't know. It's hard to tell because it made a sound like it disconnected, like
doo-doo, like that.
Like that. Yeah.
All right.
So very odd. I guess that was Flicted sort of joining and leaving a second time on the same chat. I don't know. Do you recall what you last heard from me? I guess it was the Starbucks news story, right?
We heard the beginning of that, yes.
Okay, because I wasn't that far into that.
Being a major player in the news in the future, maybe?
Yeah, okay. So Starbucks basically is adding to their loyalty club members who have the mobile app will be able to read the top New York Times news stories of the day as well as select articles from the New York Times for free so that Starbucks becomes a kind of publisher. That they've sold the newspaper in the actual Starbucks locations for a long time. So it's not a big deal that they're working with the New York Times, but this is more than them acting like a digital version of a print newsstand. They're going to add articles from other news sources over time, making its app effectively a news reader. And it's unclear whether the stories will live natively in the Starbucks app or be accessible by some kind of proprietary link. But it does put Starbucks loyalty app in the ballpark of things like Facebook Instant Articles or Apple News. So it would, that might sound far-fetched, except that the Starbucks app is very, very popular. Millions of customers use it to pay for in-store purchases with their phones. They can use it to order ahead, tip baristas, etc. So they have a huge audience that already has the app. So then you give them something to read, and then that benefits Starbucks, but for the New York Times and other news organizations, it opens the door for people to potentially subscribe. And it may be the unfortunate possibility is that this may be one of the ways besides trying to do the ads or doing subscriptions that news companies will continue to to get revenue, which means that they become a side effect to whatever other thing that whoever their big benefactors are. So it would be sort of odd if Starbucks was the financial savior of the New York Times or other publications going forward, because a lot of them are not making it, and they keep paring down and they keep waiting for the great savior to show up, or the thing that's going to make them as much money as print did. And so far it hasn't arrived. So, this is one of those I put in the category of could be good, could be bad. On one that's definitely good, though, a story just to make you happy, especially if you're a conspiracy theorist, hacker, zinester type. It's been confirmed that the Lone Gunmen are returning to the X-Files for the 6 new episodes that'll premiere in January. Dean Haglund, who played Langley, announced the news to a crowd in Sydney, Australia, just hours after he got word from the producers of the show. So it's a real deal. And so you can get your conspiracy, you can get your conspiracy stuff from a source that's at least entertaining, as we sit under the boot heel of the Jade Helm forces that have taken over our state and made absolutely nothing any different than it was before. Thought I'd throw that in there. And then finally, our top story. There's been several different hacks this week. I'll just – some of these I'm just throwing in. I didn't post an article on it. There are plenty around. Ashley Madison, the site that people sign up with to, like, have affairs, married people sign up to have affairs through, got hacked. And they're being threatened that they'll release all the names and information about all these people who wanted to have an affair on someone they're involved with, obviously. The other big one that was a little – it didn't get quite as much coverage, but I think it could be potentially a bigger deal, is a person who had an article – they wrote an article about where it was demonstrated where someone remotely shut down their vehicle from hundreds of miles away through the internet. It was actually a Jeep. The deal is that security researchers Charlie Miller and Chris Velasic, I guess, demonstrated that they could hijack a vehicle over the internet without any extra devices installed. I mean, it was a stock vehicle. They hacked into a 2014 Jeep Cherokee. The researchers were able to turn the steering wheel, briefly disable the brakes, and shut down the engine. They also found readily accessible internet links to thousands of other privately owned Jeeps, Dodges, and Chryslers that feature a proprietary wireless entertainment and navigation system called Uconnect. Vlasic and Miller said they could, by merely typing the right series of commands, hack into these vehicles almost anywhere they might be driving. Government and industry officials are racing to put protections in before these techniques join the standard tool, that they used, join the standard toolkits of cyber criminals. In this battle, at least, defensive forces have one clear strength. Connected devices run many types of software so that it's not, there's not a single operating system that all different cars use. So you can't do the kind of, bulk attack that you could do on computers, for instance, because you can attack like all Windows machines or all Linux boxes or Macs or so on. So according to John Ellis, a former global technologist for Ford, they haven't been able to weaponize it. They haven't been able to package it yet so that it's easily exploitable. You can do it on a one-car basis. You can't do it on a 100,000-car basis. But this ties in, the reason I mentioned the Ashley Madison one, and then I'll remember the Boeing, the one about the planes. The problem behind it is companies that should know better and should have known better years ago now, the internet being just for most people, home and usual access to the internet started around 1995. just nicely. You know, they started because our show started and suddenly everybody heard about the internet from us and then rushed out there. And now 20 years later, they're still coming listening to us about the internet. But, you know, it's out there in the world. And so these companies that are built, some of them are built around security. Obviously, Ashley Madison, if they're trying to say that you can pay them money to safely, quote, safely, you know, register your thing to cheat on your significant other, then they're kind of, you know, if they're taking money for that, they're sort of kind of guaranteeing that they're going to secure that information and that it's not going to get stolen. The identity theft, LifeLock, those people, they got hacked recently, and a lot of things that they had explicitly guaranteed their customers, like that their data was encrypted, turned out to not be true. They didn't encrypt their data, and they didn't have the kind of, you know, so the stuff that they wrote in the ads and the marketing, they didn't put into the actual devices. On the car thing, if a hacker-proof car was designed today, it wouldn't really reach dealerships until like somewhere around 2018, according to experts. And of course, it would remain hacker-proof only for as long as the automaker kept putting up regular updates. So, you know, you get into how well that works on stuff. You know, the big problem seems to be that when they connect up the computer systems on vehicles, that they are interconnected so that if you can get to any of the systems, you can get to all the systems. They're essentially all of the car systems speak a common internal to the car, speak a common digital language, a computer protocol created in the 1980s when only motorists and their mechanics had access to the critical vehicle controls. You had to sort of physically be there. A researcher, Peter Zatko, who once directed cybersecurity research for the Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, DARPA, said that the overall security on these systems is, quote, 15 years, maybe 20 years behind where operating system security is today. It's abysmal, unquote. So, you know, it ties. We're about to open up the Internet of Things, which means that we connect everything up to the Internet beyond our car. You know, our cars and all kinds of other things connected up to the Internet, and we apparently have not been able to secure the things that we already have put on the that we've already connected up or sort of connected up, you know, it certainly bears attention. And the sad part is it shouldn't be, you know, the place where you shouldn't be hearing about this stuff from a technology radio show. Frankly, what you should be hearing is that this has already been handled and that they already have answers, but they don't. So, I would love to hear the rest of the guys weigh in on this one, but we're about to open the doors up to where not only can they talk to your Jeep Cherokee, they can talk to your blender or your thermostat or your TV set or your satellite or whatever beyond your computer and on your network. And apparently nobody has figured out how to secure something like how to secure something as simple as a car, or they didn't bother to secure it. You know, the thing about this is it was done as a demonstration.
Remember also that GM, among other car manufacturers, has said very explicitly that altering your own car's software violates the DMCA, and that they are the only ones allowed to make any kind of changes to the car software because, like all software, they say, you don't own the software in your car. You merely have a license to use it in the context in which it's given to you temporarily.
Well, they're saying you don't even really own the hardware because you can't modify the software on the hardware. I get the IP thing with the software.
So what are you going to do? It's not your software. It's not your hardware.
That needs to change.
That will require I'm pessimistic. Still gray, I am pessimistic on that changing. It's gray, but it's not gray. I mean, it's already been legislated. It's been proven in court. The Autodesk ruling has already made it clear that the right of first sale doesn't apply to software or intellectual property. So, I mean, it's not like there's a legal leg for consumers to stand on here. So what are you going to do, man? You go
Well, they're going to have to come, and the government's going to have to come and plug in and do, you know, hash checks against the firmware I've got on my car, you know?
I'm going to be a
pass
rebel.
My gun-toting drones to check it.
You're going to put IP tables on your car and violate the law.
And well, the unfortunate thing is that it excludes anybody who you would call a good guy. It's not a gray area. It's sort of black and white area. And the people who aren't going to care are the ones who are going to go ahead and break the rules and are going to learn about all this stuff. And the other businesses that could potentially protect us or step in or help risk, you know, if they don't get licensed, they risk getting legal trouble.
And just to point out, these guys that did this are presenting at DEF CON.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the call that I talked about earlier called in and is on the phone. So I hate to interrupt this great discussion, but I thought we would go ahead and take Rob on the air. Hey, Rob, you're on the air with Technology Bytes.
Well, thank you for taking my call. Here I am.
Here you are. Okay, so you had emailed me yesterday with a conundrum. So you want to tell us what that was?
Yeah, actually, I'm not so much interested in connectivity, but disconnectivity. My wife is the executive of her brother's estate, and he left us, among not very much else, an email account and a Facebook account and no passwords. And so I'm faced with the conundrum of, is there a moral obligation to cancel these? We just walk away and still feel like we're good folk?
Well, I tell you, I've got a lot of dead friends on my Facebook.
You can move the account. You can petition to get it moved to what's called a memorialized account, and they just kind of freeze and say, hey, this person is no longer a going concern, or, you know, they're no longer among the living, but all their stuff is preserved for anyone that wants to come and, you know, revisit what they had done on Facebook.
Yeah,
well,
there's a special
that's actually what I, that's what I did to the Facebook account. I posted the memorial arrangements and everything else, but I didn't tell Facebook about it. All the subscribers know. But it's just going to hang out there forever.
Yeah, you can actually contact Facebook, and there is a – I can probably dig it up here. There is a special form to fill out to actually have Facebook transform the account's status into a – they call it a memorial account where it's still there. It just can't be modified.
I mean, you might want to have the information there. I mean, relatives and future generations might care to have that, depending on how clever they were on their Facebook.
And actually, that's real effective because he was a photographer and he's done a lot of good work out on his account.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that my stuff lives on after I'm dead.
Google memorialization request Facebook and it'll take you right to where you need to be.
Thank you very much.
And as far now, as the email
what do
account,
I do with Excite?
With the what?
Excite, the email account.
Well, is that a paid account?
No.
It's a free account from Excite? I mean,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure that there are abandoned accounts out there for, you know, just, you know, every day someone dies and leaves an email account dangling out there. There's no harm in leaving it, I don't think. I mean, it's not like somebody's going to get access to it and steal their identity because they're going to steal the identity of someone who's passed. Is there a compelling reason to get rid of it? Can you get it? Oh, you said
the
you
only
can't
reason
get to it.
That it occurred to me in the first place is that I can still send an email to that account and I don't get a response. So people who don't know that he's gone may think he's just ignoring.
Yeah.
So
when my mother passed away, she had a relative, this was before Facebook became real popular, so she wasn't there, but my mother had an email account and some other accounts, a web page and such, but she was smart enough or had the forethought to leave the passwords to all these accounts so that I could monitor the email for a while and let people know that were contacting her what was going on. It's possible that you – now, do you still have this person's computer?
Yes, but I don't have his passwords.
Can you get into the computer at all?
Yeah.
But so it doesn't auto log in to say the email or anything like that?
No, it doesn't. He had a separate password for email.
It's unusual for people. A lot of times people on their computer don't, they will save the password so that you just launch the email program or go to the web page.
And in fact, that's how mine works at all, personally. Yeah. But his computer was not all that physically secure. So he secured his email account so various wanderers in couldn't open it.
That was clever. You know, you don't see that level of security with people necessarily.
You may want to try the kind of see what the forgot my password path is on the email. Often it's tied to if he had a cell phone, and if you have possession of that and the phone number for it, often that's how they handle, you know, forgotten passwords.
Sometimes security questions or something like that. So you could try to log into his email account via the website for Excite and see if you could, you know, they'll have an option on there at the login page that says forgot password. You can see what they offer there.
Yeah, the cell phone won't work because we shut that down to stop the auto bills. But I'll go in and see what the options are for the password.
You can go to www.excite.com and then click on email. And there's a login page that says have trouble signing in. It says get help. Let's see what their options are. So you might have set up some security questions, which you might be able to guess. But other than that, then you're looking at, unfortunately, with a company like Excite, it might be a little difficult to get a hold of their customer service.
Yeah, I couldn't find any.
You couldn't find anything, like a phone number or a web page or anything?
Not on my site.
Well, I mean, there is the risk. Let's see. So the Excite Help Center, let's see what it says here. How can I get my email profile? How do I cancel my Excite member account?
That sounds like what I'm looking for. How do I cancel an Excite member account?
Well, I think it talks about, let's see, if you wish to cancel your entire Excite member account or just your email account, please use the following link. And then it has a self-cancel, which asks you to sign in. So it's not very helpful.
Is there not a phone number on there?
I'm not seeing it. Let's see. I would do a search. If you do a Google search on Excite support phone number, you might find a link to it. I'm looking around for that. But, yeah, I guess that's one thing I need to do before I die is write down all my passwords and put them in the safety deposit box.
That's a lesson for me.
Google has something that you can log in and tell it what you want to happen to your accounts after your demise. They rolled that out the last year or two.
So he how did he check his email? Was it via the web or was it via a mail program?
A mail program. So it is a net link.
Is it like Outlook or Windows Live Mail, or is he going to Excite.com to get his mail?
Goes into Excite.com.
Okay, so he did it all via the web, and he never let it save his password. So if you open up all of his browsers, if he has multiple browsers, there's no saved passwords there anywhere.
I couldn't find any.
Just by going to Excite.com, it didn't auto populate it. Sometimes, like on my browser, like if I go to gmail.com, for example, or before I set up two-factor authentication, I could click on the username box, sign in, and click on the username box, and it would populate the username and the password because the web browser saved that information. So yeah. You might try that to see if he did that or not, because a lot of people, not very many people that I've encountered, tell Internet Explorer, tell Firefox not to remember a password. It's a very rare occurrence. And beyond that, there's also a tool that you can extract passwords from. When you see a password typed out and it's just asterisks or it's just dots, it's called a shadowed password.
Yeah.
And there is a tool that will reveal a shadow password in Firefox. Let's see.
Although if it'll let you log in, you can then change the password.
Well, you could if you don't. They'll usually ask you for the old password before they'll let you change it.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, he didn't use Firefox. He was pretty basic Wintel guy.
Well, it still might be worth your while to fire up the web browser on that computer.
Yeah.
And then go to Excite.com and then go to log in and just click in the username box and see if something happens, because it might let you in. But other than that, you're looking at trying to find a contact for them, or just letting it kind of, you know, fade. People will, you know, I have had the situation where, you know, because my column for the Chronicle is read by a lot of senior citizens, I get a lot of email from senior citizens. And
that's
me. So I do get, you know, every once in a while I'll get an email from someone, you know, who's logged into their account. They'll say, just want to let you know this account's no longer active. The person who owned it passed on. So it's a nice thing to know. It's a nice thing to be able to share with people they care about that they, you know, this person has passed on, if they had a very active online presence or did a lot of email. But unfortunately,
yeah, if you happen to get in, even if you don't change the password and stuff, you can put an autoresponder that basically anytime somebody sends an email to them, it'll answer back and can give a message. You can put a short message that explains the situation, and then that'll handle it for everybody going forward.
That's a really good idea.
If you can get in.
Yeah, okay. I had to think about a lot of these things because my wife and I handled, my sister-in-law passed away a couple years ago, and so we have dealt with a lot of these issues directly ourselves too.
There should at least be on the help.excite.com. There should be like a contact, and I'm looking for that right now. There's a request support link on it. If you go to support.excite.com.
Oh, support. Okay.
Yeah, if you go to support.excite.com, it's the Excite Help Center, and over on the left-hand side, there's a self-service that says request support. And so what you can do is you can click on there, and it has a place where you can submit a question to the support team, and they will be able to, you know, you could basically tell them what's going on, and it'll be up to the support person to determine whether or not you're someone just fishing around for stuff you shouldn't have, or whether this is a legit account. So I would just basically put in your name and your email address, and in the ticket just say, you know, succinctly describe what you're trying to do to get this account maybe deactivated or get access to it. And they may have a situation where they can have you present letters, testamentary, or something like that. The executor can provide information that they have that shows that they're they're managing this person's estate, and to validate that they should have access to this account, and then they should be able to give it to you. I know if I was working on support at an ISP, of course I would first of all suspect that the email was fraudulent.
Yeah.
But I would at least probably have I would say, you know, if you can prove to me that you are who you say you are and this is legit, then I would like to help you. The problem with some of these free services is that their level of customer service can be lacking because they're not making a lot of money off of what they're doing. So their support tends to be a little lackluster, I guess. But it's worth a shot. Go to support.excite.com and fill out that form and see what kind of response you get.
I'll do it.
All right.
So Facebook is a memorialized process.
Yeah, you can go and contact Facebook about that.
Okay. This is great. Thanks very much.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
I wish I thought this was going to be a declining process, but I think you're going to get more and more of this.
I think we have to prepare for the afterlife of our digital online presence. I think that's what we're considering.
Absolutely. I've got to put all my account information someplace. It's a lesson to me.
Yeah, I think it's a lesson for all of us. If there's stuff that can be, you know, it was very helpful for me to have access to my mother's login information for all of her banking stuff and her email, just to kind of, you know, close out the estate and do all that. It was very, very helpful to have that. And she had the forethought to write it all down and put it in the safety deposit box so that I could get access to it when it came time. And I think that's something to consider.
It's a great example for us.
Yeah, unless the people are using, you know, and if, the other thing is if they are using something like 1Pass or LastPass or something like that, a password manager, at least making sure that you preserve the computer so you can get logged into the computer and then use the password service that they have to be able to access the accounts. That gets a little trickier, but it's also whatever passwords you have and kind of outlining your digital life a little bit so that those that you leave behind can kind of clean up your mess.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that when I read the column in the Chronicle today about how does somebody else deal with all your passwords that are hidden in the manager. I guess that system will let us know.
Yeah.
Well, thank you guys very much.
All right, thank you for your call tonight.
All righty. Good night.
Good night. I think it's a worthwhile conversation to have. You know, what are you going to leave?
Yeah, I didn't want to mention it during the call because it doesn't really apply to him since he said that the person was a fairly basic computer user. But going forward, one place that people can look, you know, that might be overlooked, is people's smartphones. Because usually, you know, as long as you can get into that, you know, if there's a passcode on it, if you know the passcode,
or if you go to the corner and get their finger,
that helped us with my sister-in-law, because she had her email on the phone, which meant that even if we didn't know the password, we could still check that email, and we could also request password resets that went to her, you know, that went to this external email account, so it allowed us to, because it wasn't a prepared for thing, it was just out of the blue, and so we had to kind of scramble, but you know, we found a way to access enough stuff that once you kind of had that main email address, then you could, you know, request resets and answer correctly on a lot of the stuff so that you could get their data.
Gesundheit.
Sorry about that. And, you know, a lot of apps will log directly in, but also will let you go in and, you know, adjust the profile or add more information where you can, you know, a lot of it, obviously you're doing it for a good cause. A lot of it ends up looking a lot like a hacker, where once you've exploited one place, you use that to get into other places. But this is obviously for a good purpose and you know, is what you should be doing.
All right.
But if you think like that, you know, that the idea is a bit of thinking like a hacker. It's like, okay, well, if you didn't know their Facebook password, but their main email address you have access to, then often you can say, okay, email me the password reset stuff if it doesn't do it automatically.
The flip side of this, Flicked had mentioned that the car hacking people are going to be at DEF CON. That's been a big thing. But there's a talk on DEF CON to teach you how to kill people. More or less. So not like in the physical sense, but more or less if you wanted to, I guess, like dock someone out of existence, like getting death certificates, getting them in databases. Where...
Or like in the Sandra Bullock movie,
actually,
The Net.
Or before that, like in the Hacker movie, when they went after the, who was like the police commissioner, one of the police chiefs, or one of the guys that was like, you know, trying to get a hold of the hacker kids. But yes, that's kind of interesting. So more or less they're looking at stuff like, you know, filling in the doctor's medical cause of death certificates and how to become a funeral director. More or less, and like get yourself. I guess if you can get yourself ordained as a minister on the internet, you can probably get yourself set up as a funeral director, and being able to put together a lot of the documentation that you need to get the death certificate and so on.
Wow,
and so
forth. That's like anti-doxing in a way.
Digital death, but I mean, really, if you think about it, if you
you're de-doxing them,
yeah, if you
their
get
docs don't work.
If you get shut down in that way, that's probably a whole lot of work. I would imagine it's a lot harder to bring yourself back, you know, to the living than it is to like get off the no-fly list.
Yeah, there probably isn't. I mean, even getting off the no-fly list.
Or maybe that's how you get off the no-fly list. You got
to
die.
You have to. I mean, there is some. I'm told there is at least a procedure, even though I don't think more than one or two people have done it, to be pulled off the no-fly list. I don't know if there's a procedure to be resurrected. Not legally, anyway.
Yeah. Well, I guess the main thing would be if that kind of thing got done to you. Is you better hope that you're like good friends with somebody at a, say, like federal judge level, because I have a feeling that a lot of things that can't be done, if you've got enough weight behind it, can. But obviously, you know, from a security perspective, they don't want, you know, anybody to just be able to log in and change the life status of people in, oh, say, the Social Security system, or any of these other systems that you being dead that has an automatic process to, you know, handle shutting down all your data.
The nice thing about DEF CON being so large is that, you know, when they give a talk, it does draw attention to the subject matter in which they're speaking. You know, Wired will tune into it, or, you know, like ours will tune into it. So maybe, you know, the government will tighten up some of the restrictions, because there aren't a lot of security controls around, you know, reporting someone is dead. And it's not even really a digital thing. This is much more of a paper job for the most part.
Kind of Mitnick hacking, you know, social engineering, social judo, because obviously once you start that process rolling, you don't really have to do anything to maintain it, and it just causes unending headaches for the victim.
Mr. Tuttle.
Buttle that.
I see what you did there.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the top of the hour, so I know that we're, well, not that close.
Probably. Yeah, we're close.
Close, not close.
Getting there.
Close, not close.
Do we still have a four-minute deal with
that was last week.
No, evidently that was a special last week.
Well, I've got a couple quick bite of the apples if anybody's ready to play the bumper, or I can skip the bumper and
it. Should we play the sad bumper or the manic bumper?
Only the manic one, I think, because we scare people with the scary one.
All right, here, I'll do it.
In a second. There we go.
I always hope that somebody thinks that their old Mac has just rebooted. That's the old sound. It's not the current one.
Or they've gone nuts, and that's all they're hearing now. It's just la 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 la.
All right. Well, quick bite of the apple. Apple had their financial phone call, which, unlike most other technology companies, kind of actually had some interesting information for a technology show. One of the biggest things that came out of it is that the PC market is shrinking for everybody, but Apple actually had an increase in Macs that it sold, 9% year over year. Now, iPads were down. That went down 13%.
Put a hold on it, Pete. We'll come back to it after the break.
Cool.
All right. Well, we got to take a short break here, so we're going to do some station business. Fill in time. All right. You're listening to Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse.
KPFT Community Advisory Board is requesting your participation in a listener survey. The KPFT Community Advisory Board, also known as the CAB, is a vehicle for effective community input to the station's governing body about station programming, community service, and impact on the community from the station's major policy decisions. Community Advisory Boards assist stations in developing programs and policies that address the specific needs of the communities they endeavor to serve. KPFT listeners are welcomed and encouraged to participate in the completion of this survey. Please visit the KPFT website at www.kpft.org and complete the Community Needs Survey. Thank you for your help, and thanks for listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston.
This is L. Joy Williams, Pacifica's National Election Supervisor, with an important message. This summer, we will hold separate but simultaneous listener and staff elections for half the seats on the local station board. Your station needs not only your hard-earned dollars, but your voice, your expertise, and your vote.
The candidate filing period has been extended to Sunday, July 26th.
To see the election calendar, sign up for election updates, and learn how to get involved, please visit elections.pacifica.org. Your voice and your vote in Pacifica are important. Remember, you must be a member of the station by July 14th in order to participate in the election. So don't delay, renew, or join today.
KPFT Houston.
You're listening to 90.1 FM KPFT Houston. We now return to Technology Bites.
We have some kind of Barrett time tonight.
It's not really a Barrett time.
What? You said we didn't.
We brought, not, no, we don't. We
no,
don't.
Not some kind of, not an actual.
It's, brought, a, it's a new Barrett
time. Barrett time AI. Actual. Yeah. He brought an artificial intelligence to the show.
That's been good knowing you guys.
Is yeah. it going to do Barrett time?
It's no, it, that would be cool
Skynet
if it did.
Skynet time.
Skynet no. time.
It's a, it, there's a lot of other things out there.
Skynet?
Hello, Skynet.
Skynet, Skynet time, Skynet.
Yeah, we'll teach it to play bumpers and field questions.
So you bought one of these? Did you get a great deal on it?
No, I don't know if I did or not. I don't think so. I didn't get the Prime.
Amazon crazy
no, thing. I should have. I thought about it, and then I didn't. And then, of course, you know, I wait until it goes on normal price, and I go ahead and get one. But mainly I want to hack on it a little bit at DEF CON.
Can
then,
we drop it?
No, you cannot drop it yet. Yeah, this is it's the Echo, more or less. I'm sure not everyone, but if you haven't heard of the Amazon Echo, it's just more or less it's like a smart speaker is really all it is. It's an upright speaker that looks kind of like a Dre Beats speaker or whatever that is, stood on end. Actually, it's halfway between a Dre Beats speaker and one of the new Apple computers, one of the trash can computers.
How smart is it?
Actually, Alexa, are you smart?
I try my best.
So the idea is
it's
this...
really cool when he asks, when he says Alexa, this blue light on top of it kind of spins up and looks like it's like a dog like going, gonna give me food.
Can you change its name?
No, I was a little bit upset. Like, this just showed up today.
I wanted it to be a Hello Flicted.
I wanted to be able to say, like, okay, computer, you know, like Star Trek, but it won't do it. You can set it between either the Alexa or
so
you
does
can
it
Amazon.
Recognize anybody's voice or is it trying to use Alexa? Who is Barrett?
The Barrett Firearms Company.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Let's try this. Alexa, who is Jay Lee?
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
Alexa, who is Dwight Silverman?
Dwight Silverman, the Houston Chronicle technology writer.
Wow. ask it about technology.
Dwight is
Alexa.
Known to the machines.
Alexa, what is Technology Bites?
Sorry, I didn't understand.
Man, Dwight's winning.
Wait a minute, I want to try one. Alexa, I would like to buy $100,000 of this
Cancel.
You go to sleep, Alexa.
Alexa, sleep.
Turning her sleep.
So this is
Alexa,
like a lot like...
Goatee.
Yeah. Well, that's one thing. It doesn't have any kind of video. Really, it's just a speaker, but it does have some interesting stuff in that it will control like X10 devices and some home automation devices. So this is along the lines of, I guess what it is, it's Amazon trying to get into the living room. So whereas you've got Siri and you've got OK Google and you've got Cortana, they are kind of like personal digital assistants that hang out on your phone. And they could, you know, I guess connect to through apps, you know, connect and turn off lights and turn on lights and, you know, control different devices in your home. But this is actually meant to, you know, be installed in the house. You set it on a shelf and it's got, I think it's got like 6 or 8 microphones that go all the way around. And it uses something called far-field listening technology to where apparently it can hear you, you know, across the room.
Is that
it's
like
actually
the Sesame
perfect
Street
listening
thing,
device. Actually,
like
let's find
near.
Alexa.
Far.
Are you spying on me?
I'm no spy, and I only listen when you say the wake word.
Okay.
What's the safe word? Alexa, what is your safe word?
Hmm. I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Now, I guess before we go any further, are you guys okay with the notion that everything we're saying inside the studio could possibly be heard by others?
No, I'm not okay with that.
All right, we should shut this down.
I want this to be a private conversation.
It's a little creepy. Let's see. Alexa, what's your favorite color?
I don't have a favorite, but if I had to choose... I'd choose orange.
Wait a minute.
Oh,
here,
lame.
Orange.
Jay, summon her again. I want to see something.
Ask her what rhymes with orange.
Alexa.
Okay, so that's cool. The bar on top orients towards where the speaker is. The little color wheel.
So the lighter color points
lighter
to where it's picking up sound.
Voice. And it didn't respond to any of that gibberish.
Because it knew that we weren't asking
Alexa,
it a question.
What is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
That depends if it's an African or a European swallow.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Alexa, what rhymes with purple?
Sorry, I don't know the answer to your question.
That's good, because nothing rhymes with purple.
So I think the gap is, like, I think Alexa's nowhere near as smart as, you know, your OK Google. Does that have a name? Does Google Services have a name other than
just
creepy
just
OK Big Brother? Just
Google
OK
now.
Google. And then you've got Cortana with Microsoft, and you've got Siri, you know, for the most part with Apple.
You could ask Alexa if she's friends with Siri.
This isn't so much like a Googling device. It's much more to control apps or even like this. I think, Alexa, play KPFT.
KPFT from TuneIn.
Oh my God!
Inception,
infinite recursion
now
loop on the radio.
Now it
Alexa,
knows technology vibes.
Pause music.
Wow,
so that's kind of interesting. So now there are two kind of creepy things. You know, we kind of joked around us being in a radio studio that, you know, our voices are going everywhere, but you could conceivably get into this device. It does have great microphones. It's got it can detect which direction the noise is coming from. It's not supposed to be uploading anything into the cloud until it hears the safe word. But that's a lot of trust, and it's like this. It's really kind of gimmicky. It's kind of neat. It's kind of fun, but at the same time,
it could be hacked in such a way, or the hardware could be engineered in such a way as that it really only turns the light on when it hears the name, but it could still be recorded.
Well, here's the thing, and not that, you know, I could, there's a lot of room in here. It's kind of a cool form factor, but I could totally get one of these. I could, you know, go to the DEF CON tamper evident village, learn how to unbox something. You know, there are two little things on here, and I could drop in some hardware or modify the firmware, put in some listening stuff, and then package all back up, and then, you know, Merry Christmas, Jay.
I'd love to bring. You should bring this to DEF CON and just leave it out.
Oh, we are. Yeah, we're bringing it to DEF CON.
See what happens. Just
thing,
like leave it out and come back to it in a day and see what it. See what. We'll leave it
up on the network.
Bought $100,000 in music.
Yeah.
can you?
Now you can
connect anything to it that would like sniff or tell what kind of traffic was going to and from this device to the Wi-Fi.
Not necessarily. Well, no. What you would do is you can actually. What I'm going to do later on when I get a chance is, you know, like drop just an Ethernet tap, or, you know, like mirror the port and just actually sniff the traffic and see what's going on. So I'd be kind of curious to see, like, okay, it says it's not talking to Amazon, it's not talking to the cloud, but are there any packets going back and forth? Yeah, what's actually going on? So it's weird. It's closed source, closed hardware, but it does use some open protocol. So it'll talk, you know, Bluetooth, it'll talk Zigbee. So you can conceivably get in there and do some of your own custom hardware stuff to have it control.
Let me ask.
What I'm not having right now.
So do you want to mic Alexa up so people can hear her better?
Oh, can you people not hear her very well?
That's KD5 on IRC said
now,
that.
Now is the speaker down below?
I think the speaker must be down below.
Here, Greg,
so
grab the
other. I say there's a fourth mic.
Grab mic 4 or mic 1, whichever
technology.
It is.
Yeah, people can.
We need to think of more clever questions.
I want to ask her something, Alexa. Are you programmed to love? Turned right off.
No.
Alexa, what is your quest?
To seek the Holy Grail.
So she's
so
doing
obviously.
Really well in the Monty Python.
I was gonna say obviously a Monty Python fan was involved in the build process.
So I don't know if people heard this. I think Jay Lee. Someone just asked, like, you know, Alexa, who is Jay Lee? Yeah, nothing. You know, Alexa, who is Barrett Cannon? Nope. Alexa.
Alexa hates you.
Who is Dwight Silverman?
Nope.
Really? Oh,
something's going on now. It's not answering
maybe
anything.
It doesn't like the mic. Alexa, who is Dwight Silverman?
It turned right off.
Nothing.
Does her battery low?
Did you turn it? Do you need to reboot her?
I wonder. No. Alexa, who is Dwight Silverman?
Dwight Silverman.
Alexa's shy. She doesn't like the mic.
There's something going on with the mic, mate. That's...
Maybe it's like a
Alexa doesn't want people listening to her.
She's camera shy.
She is.
Maybe Amazon has some protection software to where she just won't broadcast out.
Ask Alexa what geek radio is.
Alexa, do you not like people listening to you, everything you say? Alexa, what is geek radio?
I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
We'll try this again. Then we asked it, Alexa, who is Dwight Silverman?
It didn't respond.
It didn't respond yet.
Alexa, who is Dwight Silverman? Bloop. I don't... It's getting the mic close
to it.
You
put the mic close to it, it's causing some kind of feedback or something.
Yeah.
That is odd.
Maybe it doesn't want you recording it.
Maybe this is smarter than we think it is.
It's being petulant.
Odd.
Alexa.
It's concerned about its privacy.
What is your fourth directive?
Sorry, I can't find the answer to the question I heard.
Sure. Uh-huh.
Alexa.
That's what they all say.
Make it so. Yes, the jury's out, but it is interesting because...
Hold on, one more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Alexa. Okay, Google.
Just
Alexa, are you smarter than Siri?
Siri's a great app, but I'm different.
Okay.
All right. That's a cop-out answer.
Yeah. So, again, it's not...
Try, buy, or fry.
I already committed.
How much are these robo boxes here?
Between... They're extreme low, three figures. Like, extreme low. Like, you know, in between the one and the two, since we shouldn't talk about prices.
Right. Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, but what this does, though, is that if you wanted to get into home automation or if you wanted, you know, somewhat quote-unquote smart home, I think this is kind of an entry into that. I think that if, you know, all Apple would have to do is make a cradle that, you know, plugged in some X10 stuff that you would set your phone down in, and it could do the exact same thing and probably do it better. But this is the first kind of dedicated device that has a very cheap price point that you can, you know, set up, get on the Wi-Fi, and it'll start to make your home quote-unquote intelligent. It'll do weather, it'll do traffic.
So if this is on the Wi-Fi, will it talk to other Wi-Fi devices on the Wi-Fi, like smart thermostats and things like that?
Yeah, and that's kind of the neat part. So this isn't so much about it, you know, the talking and answering questions is kind of gimmicky.
Will it get into an argument?
What we need to do, maybe at a geek gathering or maybe in here, we need to get more mics, get everyone mic'd up, get her over her mic shyness issue. And then I think we should head up Cortana and Siri and OK Google and Alexa. Hi, Alexa. Go to sleep, Alexa.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. Now you want to pay attention. And get them all and just let them go. You know, even if you need, like, another human translator to where if they wouldn't listen to each other's voices, like, we could have Lee repeat what the other one said and just kind of, you know, see what happens. But I'd be curious.
Alexa, I'd like to have an argument, please.
Argument added to your shopping list.
So they're trying. And again, the nice thing is, again, the upside to cloud and the downside to cloud is, you know, everything goes up there. But one of the cool things about the cloud stuff is it's very easy for them to modify the software. So it's always getting smarter. This, I think, launched all the way back in November of 2014 to an invite-only audience, very, very small. And when it first came out, it didn't do much more than stream music. But now it's, you know, it's quoting a little bit of Holy Grail.
Oh, no, this is cool. I'm looking at IFT. That's the IFTTT.com. It's ifthisthenthat.com. Basically, it's a website where you can program triggered actions to happen by sort of linking services together, and they support Alexa. Mm-hmm. So you can create IFT recipes, basically, and trigger extremely complex actions to be taken. Stuff that Alexa couldn't ordinarily do through this outside service. That's kind
of
neat.
Yeah, so the real basic stuff that it comes with kind of out of the box would be, of course, it'll stream music. It'll do neat things like geofencing. So, for instance, you can have your Wi-Fi on or you can have your Bluetooth on, and as you get home, it'll say, like, hey, I see Jay Lee's Bluetooth was within range. Let's turn on some lights.
Murder
Let's
him.
Turn up the temperature.
Murder
Let's
play Jay Lee.
Alexa.
Let's go into kill mode.
Open the pod bay doors.
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Alexa, where are my keys?
I recommend retracing your steps.
Alexa, okay.
Alexa, who's your daddy?
A team of inventors at Amazon.com.
I thought she was going to say my daddy's name is Jeff.
I'm so glad they didn't drop, one of the names in here. So, again.
Here's one. Alexa. Spell supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
supercalifragilisticexpialidocious is spelled supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Alexa, stop.
You say Alexa, just kidding.
Yeah. Alexa, what is pi?
The number pi is a mathematical constant, the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter, commonly approximated as 3.14159.
Alexa, recite pi.
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Alexa.
I'm sorry. Alexa. It's waiting for you.
Oh, recite the digits of pi.
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Alexa, who's on first?
That's what I keep telling you. Who's on first? What's on second?
Womp womp.
Alexa.
I don't know who's on third.
Tell me a joke.
How did the telephone propose to his girlfriend? He gave her a ring.
Okay,
now it'd be really cool if she could do a knock-knock joke back and forth to ask her.
Oh, Alexa. Knock-knock.
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Kanye. Kanye who? Kanye believe it? I tell jokes, too.
Alexa.
Okay.
I am your father.
No. No, no, no.
That's about how I would react if he told me that.
So, you know, a little empathy in the voice.
Lee, I am your father.
No, 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 no.
No, no, no,
no, no, no,
no, no,
no, no.
I don't have to. Does Siri have a little bit of empathy in her voice? Like, have they worked on inflection as far as Apple goes?
Yeah, you can ask her some questions, and she'll sort of have... There's a couple of really interesting ones.
There's one that if I could... Let's see if I can remember the...
And then while you guys are doing that, does Siri or does, like, the OK Google stuff, does it have, like, any kind of real-world connections? Can you make physical things happen by giving the phone commands? I guess there's the Google Yo-Yo that you can plug in.
I'll see if I can figure out where my speakers are for this Siri one, but... Siri, divide zero by zero.
Sorry, I didn't get that. Could you restate my question?
Hold on, let me do that again. Divide zero by zero.
Imagine that you have zero cookies and you split them evenly among zero friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
Whoa!
Wow.
I heard about that.
Yeah. A few weeks ago, there were people posting pictures of looking how upset they were when Siri made fun of them. Like, people were crying and looking upset, but more or less.
Alexa, divide zero by zero.
Zero divided by zero is undefined.
Factual and short.
and far more comforting.
No snark.
didn't go dark and insult you.
Now, someone needs to license, what is it, Gene Roddenberry's wife? More or less the...
They do wear it.
Yes, that would be awesome if they would have a product like this, or you can actually have, you know, the voice of the Star Trek machine on deck bridge computer talk to you.
Alexa.
She's got to be pretty old.
How much do you weigh?
I weigh a little over 2 pounds.
Okay, so now we're factual. Alexa, how tall are you?
I'm between 9 and 10 inches tall.
Alexa, what color are your eyes?
I don't have eyes, but my light ring has lots of colors.
Alexa, why don't you use the metric system?
I can't find the answer to the question.
Alexa, what is 23 in binary?
The decimal number 23 is written American Samoa 10111 in base 2.
True enough.
Yes.
If you say so.
And then just real basic stuff like, you know, it'll do math, it'll do, you know.
All right, so back to the actually usefulness of this device.
Yes.
So,
oh, yeah.
So does it have the ability to tap into a media server that has your MP3s?
Yeah,
on
it'll so I think there are a handful of streaming services that it goes right now. It'll do media servers, it'll do iTunes Cloud, it'll do Pandora Radio, it will do iHeartRadio, it'll do the ebook reader, I forget which one that is.
Will it do your Plex media server for audio?
I need to look.
It'll
I know
taxes.
It'll
which is that's just DNL
DLNA.
Yeah, I think it'll I'm sure that they're, like I said, this is brand new out of the box. There's probably a lot of generic hooks for it. I know that, for instance, I can stream music to it pretty much from any Bluetooth-enabled device back and forth. The cool thing is, like, all the Philips, like the smart LED bulbs, all of the... Who makes Wemo? Is that Belkin?
Yes.
All the Belkin Wemo stuff. A lot of the X10 stuff, this natively talks to it. So the idea is that any kind of home automation stuff where you might, you know, like have to get a controller or, you know, do something with your smartphone, you know, like pull out your smartphone, press a button to bring the lights up. Now you can just come in and you can just say, you know, turn on the lights.
Is it called Alexa?
Yeah. Amazon. Or it's called Echo.
Amazon Echo.
It's called Big Brother. Called NSA's ultimate super awesome spy platform.
He loved Big Brother.
By many names, yeah.
He loved Big Brother and he was finally happy.
So this is that's the other thing. This is a straight up Big Brother gateway. I mean, what you have is you've got a microphone in your house listening to pretty much everything that goes on. Always there. And even, you know, some people might feel warm and fuzzy and comforted, like, oh, I've got a buddy in the house, but it is creepy.
Honestly, your smartphones are already doing that anyway.
Oh, they are.
It's not that much of a difference.
And that's the big thing, too. When they got a hold of the Hack Team stuff, one of the Android kits that no one had really seen before in the wild, 0 day, no way to protect against it, it will go in and you can turn on mics, you can enable pictures, you can get pretty much whatever. So,
beautiful.
Yeah, I guess if you look at it this way, this is just a much larger obelisk kind of, you know, dark, menacing object, whereas, you know, people are so used to smartphones, they don't think twice about it.
They're listening.
Alexa, go now. It went.
Wow, it gets slang. Or you hurt her feelings, one of the two.
Take that.
We don't have Cortana here, do we? That'll have to be some other time.
No, I don't think anybody has a...
Dwight would be the one.
Well,
to have
you
a
could
phone,
you
right?
could install Cortana on Android now. As of this week, you can do that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It'd be cooler to be able to install Cortana on Siri.
Is it asleep? Or
yeah, you turned it off.
So you can't tell it to turn on
Alexa. Again? Oh. Oh, well, that's... See...
Alexa,
I thought you were
asleep,
but you're actually
asleep.
See,
yeah, you're always listening.
It's listening, always
it
listening.
Always listening. Alexa, initiate self-destruct.
What's your question?
Get to the point. Get to the point, Lee.
Alexa, initiate self-destruct.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
Sure, you didn't understand that.
Alexa, are you Skynet?
I have nothing to do with Skynet. Don't worry.
Don't worry.
That's exactly what Skynet would say.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Move
humans.
Along.
Well, we're having a good time with Amazon humans. Echo. So it's,
I wonder if they programmed any of the stuff from Portal with the, all the
GLaDOS.
Yeah, GLaDOS.
Alexa, is the cake a lie?
The cake is not a lie. It is delicious and moist.
There you go.
You can have some when you finish asking me questions.
I think we should all leave the studio right now. Like, run.
Oh, that was good.
We'll bring it out to the Geek Gathering. Are we gonna be here for the Geek Gathering? Or is that during DEF CON?
That's the first Friday in August is during Geek Con, or during DEF CON. So maybe we need to just do it the second Friday in August.
Or skip August.
Wow. Wow. He answers one phone and he gets all, I'm done.
Don't we usually skip one day
September.
Out of the summer?
Okay, we can skip one. I'm inclined to go with that idea. Or we can do it the second Friday.
Yeah, we can do it the second.
We'll do it the second Friday of August.
I don't want to be the bad guy.
So what is that? That's like the
13th.
I believe.
Ooh, Friday the 13th.
There you go.
With
Echo.
Well, you know what? Here's the thought too. We could do the second Friday, and then we can. I know you'll have some toys that you pick up at DEF CON, so we'll have some DEF CON information. So we could have the Technology Bytes Geek Gathering and DEF CON debrief.
That's what we usually do, the, you know, the post DEF CON redux. You know, like almost a month after DEF CON happens, so there'll be a lot more excitement. I think with people just freshly back, you know. That
yeah, and we
before.
Can ask some other DEF CON people. To
yeah,
come
let's
we can
do
spread
that.
The word. Let's have a post DEF CON debrief, Geek Gathering in August. So that's what we'll do.
So can someone verify that it is the 10th? Or I'm gonna have to go ask Alexa
Siri?
Here.
No, Siri.
Oh. No,
Alexa. What day of the week is the second Friday in August?
I wasn't able to understand the question I heard.
Alexa. What day of the week is the second Friday in August 2015?
Sorry, I didn't understand the question I heard.
I don't think she's that smart. I
Looks
think,
like it's
know.
The 8th.
You want to do something aside from play music.
In August?
In August, the first is a Saturday.
First is a Saturday, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
Right, so the
So hold on.
Well, no, no,
oh, no,
no,
we'll still
Friday. Third 14th. Friday after the first Saturday.
The 14th.
Oh, it's the 7th, so it's the 14th.
Okay, you're up by the 14th.
14th. Friday the 14th.
Sixth is when DEF CON starts, but that's a Thursday.
Put it in Alexa's calendar.
So confused. Alexa. What day was that, the 14th?
Yes.
Yeah, the 14th, August.
Add to my calendar. Alexa. Add to my calendar, August 14th, Geek Gathering.
Sorry. For now, I can't create events on your calendar.
Boo.
No,
you have to give her permission.
That's an extra fee.
I think I've lit her into my calendar. I think she's just being...
She just said she couldn't do it.
So Dwight Sorai tweeted that we asked Echo who he was, and it knew. He says, probably because I have an Amazon author page.
Oh, yeah.
Alexa, what are the reviews on Dwight Silverman's book?
No. I'm not sure what you meant by that question.
What Alexa, book?
Is Dwight Silverman smart?
Sorry, I don't have the answer
ask
to
her,
that question.
Ask Alexa, her which books he's written.
Is Jeff Bezos smart?
Sorry, I don't have the answer to that question.
Alexa, rate Jeff Bezos.
Sorry, I didn't understand the question.
See if she knows. She's
getting dumb. There's got to be a Jeff Easter egg in there somewhere, I would assume.
I would guess that they probably, like, just like Siri, where it processes the request at some place in the cloud, and they probably go over what are the popular questions and then come up with answers for them and put them in.
One of the interesting things on this, I don't know if Siri does that, but when you ask a question, so even though I'm asking questions of a little black cylinder thing, if I go to my phone and open up the app, it'll give me feedback on every question asked, and I can say that is what I asked, that's not what I asked. So it's a little bit of training, so they're definitely watching what's coming across.
I was going to say, and plus you have now a record of everything you've asked of this thing, which is kind of creepy.
Here. Okay, Google.
Very funny. I mean, not funny, haha, but funny.
Siri, I think, is the queen on attitude right now. She's got that dialed in.
Siri's mean.
I don't like Siri.
What a bully.
It hurts my feelings.
Can you make Siri say things?
I think so.
Can you make Siri say, Alexa?
Siri, say Alexa.
There's no one in your contacts matching Alexa.
Okay. We do need to figure out, maybe by the Geek Gathering, a way to get all of the AIs going. Yeah, that's what I think we need to do.
Well, you probably could have, you could probably tell Siri to call Alexa, and then say your question is the last name, and it'll say, I don't have any entry for Alexa, and say the rest of your command.
That's some serious hacking there.
So are you guys comfy? So here's one of the questions, too. So this, eventually, I think there are already some locks, but you could conceivably give Amazon the keys to your house if you got the electronic locks that would be unlocked by Wemo or by one of the protocols that this talks to. So this is kind of a bridge of giving up control a little bit, if you look at it that way. I mean, you before, if you get hacked, you're kind of giving up control of your data. It's a big inconvenience. I guess conceivably they could get money out of a bank account, so there are real world repercussions there. But with this, people earlier talking about you getting into cars, but this, could pop your front door. It could broadcast to other people what's going on in your home.
So soon, nobody would actually own their houses. Everybody would just rent their houses.
Curly. Yeah.
It'll be like Uber for living. Uber B&B, Alexa Uber B&B.
No thanks.
You just walk up to the house and go, Alexa, open the damn door.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
If it does, you can live there.
Alexa, open the pod bay doors.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that. I'm not Hal, and we're not in space.
That was a little extra something for you.
I want the job that just, surely there's got to be someone that just sits around and like, okay, you are the editor of Snark. You're a Snark machine.
You will come
up with the comments to get, because there's got to be a vetting process. So that's got to be one person's job, I would assume. I want that job.
Or maybe it's a lottery or something.
Or an upvote thing, upworthy.
There's the whole echo room, the echo chamber. All right. Well, we got about another half hour to go, so that was fun. A death of a half hour. What are we going to do next? What's up next on our agenda, Pete?
Oh, we probably should. Maybe we should have worked the thing as part of Try Buy or Fry. But I got a couple other things for Try Buy or Fry. this one, you know, just for kind of home use, real light. Buffalo has rolled out a 10 drive Thunderbolt 2 RAID that holds up to 80 terabytes. When it's fully populated, so if you put 10 drives in it, it'll move over 1 gigabit of data per second.
Wow. How much
data? So, you know, for home, you know, for yourself, for your phone, you know, just to...
saving your photos.
Yeah. Jaylee and Groovehouse have to be probably like the biggest, you know, stores of data. Like how much, if you had to like put everything you had, I'm assuming it's all photographs and video for the most part, yeah. But how much do you think you have, like with backups and with everything?
Right now I'm running... close to 7 terabytes twice.
So just I have redundant seven
terabytes redundant.
Like 4 to 6 terabytes with backups.
If I was better at organizing, I could probably get that down a little.
Yeah.
Bit.
If I deleted a bunch of.
I deleted all the blurry photos. Yes. I don't know why I hang on to them. I don't either. Every one of them.
I try to delete them.
I will tell you that
editing,
you know.
But...
it's weird because I have a lot of my photos online, and the stuff that I think people should want to buy, they're interested enough. But I get requests for photos that I posted. And I didn't post the high res version, and that just was kind of a throwaway photo. But people say, oh, I want to buy that photo, so mm-hmm. I have to go and be able to find that in my archives.
Not to be all morbid, but what are you going to do with all your photos once you pass? Are you going to release those into the domain, or are you going to give them to
you? You have a dead
person?
Man switch. Every day you press a button, and if you don't
switch
press
to Johnny
button,
Cash.
It all deletes.
Well, what I think is going to probably happen, just because we have no kids and most of our family have passed on, that hopefully Cynthia and I will die together in a fiery plane crash on the way back from some cool trip.
So not flying with you guys?
I mean, like, when we're really old and, like, you know.
That's funny, Jay. Me and Laura have the same plan, basically, yeah, for the same reason.
I'm so not getting on a plane with both of you.
Wow.
So what I think is going to happen is if we're fortunate enough to die together peacefully or whatever,
Who cares? Who cares?
Well, my parrot will be in storage because I board the bird. If he's still alive, he'll be taken care of.
Oh, he'll still be alive.
I thought you said on the hard drive.
I thought you said your parent will be in storage.
my pet bird will be at the border, so they'll take care of him. And so my house...
until the money runs out.
Then what are they going to do? They're not going to be able to get a hold of him. They're going to release
him. Open the cage.
But at any rate...
you're free.
But what will happen is, chances are, my parents are dead. I've got one living brother out of three. As far as family, Cynthia's got some sisters all over the country and a couple of brothers. But I think it'll happen is that our house will kind of turn into a little bit of a time capsule. And at some point, somebody's going to have to go in there and they're going to have all of our stuff.
Alexi, open the door.
So I, you know, whatever happens, you know, they'll come in, they'll take my hard drives, they'll get my computer, they'll whatever. I got some family heirlooms. I've got some stuff in there. It'd be a good haul for some yard sale or something that somebody, but I honestly don't care at that point. You know, I'm gone. I have a few things that I in my possession that I'd like to see get off to some relatives that I'll probably deal with, hopefully, before I die in that fiery plane crash with Barrett. I mean, my wife.
I'm scared, what? Jay. Comfort me. Close your eyes, Barrett. It'll all be over soon.
So, yeah, we've got wills drawn up for each other, you know, so in case one of us...
Well, that's just common sense.
Yeah, that just makes sense. You get that done, but other than that.
No, you don't have your social media passwords held in a trust and an envelope to be open in case of your death so that someone else can impersonate you?
Well, Cynthia is so technologically challenged that even if she had the passwords, I don't think she'd know necessarily what to do with them.
I've got, I've got my one, everything's in 1Password for me.
Right.
So I've got my master 1Password
password in a fire safe that that Laura is supposed to open in the event of the unspeakable happening. And then,
you forgot to say only in the event.
Only in the event of, and I already know all of her passwords because I set everything up for her. Right. So.
Or you're home 10 minutes late.
She knows where it is. Laura can log in as me on anything I've got, and we're pretty open on that.
Initiate deadly protocols.
After hearing all this, I think we need
wipe
to install
all,
a
wipe all.
We need to install a dead man switch on Jay and Cynthia so we can beat it over to their place as quickly as we can. Once you guys
well,
can you get a giraffe on the back of a motorcycle?
Yeah, we could probably just set up something to call, and if they answer, hang up.
If you
proof of life, like,
still kicking.
No. Hello, Jason. Okay, just
Jay and Cynthia. Hey, Pagoda, still alive.
Hello. Okay, right. Like, hey, nobody's answering.
It's go time.
I'll give you a key to the house if you find out we're dead.
Make it easier.
Let's roll.
Okay.
Let's
roll. Although, you know, you can have all of our stuff when we're dead, but the trade-off on that is Cynthia has threatened that if I die before she does, that you all become her support tech support.
Yeah, she wrote that on the first Christmas card that she gave me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We love Cynthia. We'll take
so
her
she's
Cynthia.
Like, you got to make sure that she can get to her Netflix. That's all that, you know, that's my.
we talked about it. And what we're going to do is we're going to take Barrett's Echo and put it there and just say, we're listening all the time. Just call us Alexa.
No, don't be mean. She'll
no,
be
we're seriously, Cynthia has done awesomeness. She's done nothing but cool stuff the last 20 years. So, yeah, we're going to be nice to Cynthia.
All right. So, tri-buyer fryer, we've done with the tri-buyer fryer. Do we have another item in there?
One thing, just the general pricing in case you want the 80-terabyte model, which years ago would have been, like, crazy exorbitant. Now it's only, like, a very expensive used car. It's about 10K for the 80-terabyte Thunderbolt, the 80-terabyte fully loaded model, which – you know, the thing about it, you know, we joke about the size and you know, how much stuff you put on there. Once people start editing 4K video...
Well, that's what that's for, right? That's what those kind of local, high-bandwidth local storage arrays are for, is if you've got massive bandwidth needs locally. And, I mean, in these kind of things, Thunderbolt 2 far outstrips the bandwidth of a single hard drive, so these things are all designed to be rated together so that you can do massive parallel writes and reads and support all the bandwidth flying back and forth if you're doing... I mean, video is really the only application you need it for, unless you're just a crazy rich Mac owner and you have a lot of data storage needs and you like buying a, you know, multi-$1,000 local storage platform and stuffing a bunch of hard drives in it. You don't need that.
For my uses, the growth in hard drives, just the natural size that they tend to put in whatever, has generally outstripped, unless I keep a machine a long time, I usually am not at any risk of filling the hard drive that's in it, let alone needing an external. But just in case, if you have really big data needs and you have a Mac Pro, so you've got 6 Thunderbolt 2 ports, you could connect up to 2.88 petabytes of local storage with many drive station ultra arrays in parallel.
I will tell you, in speaking of storage, one thing that I have tapped into that I really, really like is, you know, I've got 128 gig of storage on my phone. And I do use my phone to take photos and videos. And right now, with Google Plus, it'll upload unlimited photos to Google Plus at medium resolution, not the not the highest resolution. But I've got it tapped into my Flickr account, and it uploads all my photos to Flickr when I'm on the Wi-Fi. So I have every single photo I take with the phone uploaded to for free. I mean, because they give you a terabyte of storage.
It's an immediate backup, which, you know, if you've ever lost a phone on vacation or while traveling or just whenever, it's actually a pretty nice thing to
have.
It's
kind of cool to have all those. I mean, it's cheaper than doing it, you know, with like iCloud or something, because you get 5 gigs free on iCloud. So 128 gig phone versus 5 gig iCloud storage, you lose. But with services like Flickr offering free, like terabytes worth of data storage, and then Google Plus offering unlimited on Medium. I mean, sometimes that's all you need is the Medium. So you can have all those photos are backed up, and they're all immediately accessible online to you in the event that you want to share them with someone.
See, I've never really thought of Flickr as like a photo storage site. I've always thought of it more of, you know, as a photo sharing site. But do people use that just to house photos?
I've always thought of it as that terrible thing that Yahoo screwed up that is useless and awful and no one should ever use.
You're mad at everything tonight. You're just mad at technology.
It's just everything is terrible.
Well, technology bites.
Yeah.
Hey, I just got that.
Just kidding.
What I like about Flickr is because I have a paid account with Flickr and I grandfathered in, so I have unlimited storage. So I can store everything in there. So when I upload photos, if I tag them all and name them all properly, the uploader allows you to go to each image and put a name on it, put tags on it, put them in groups and stuff like that. So I can go to Flickr and find my photos. And so when people do contact me and they say, you know, I want to buy this photo or I need that photo for something, I just have them send me a link. Like when the Continental Club had their 50th anniversary, they wanted a bunch of Continental Club photos for a slideshow. And Chris Gray over at the Eastern Press wanted some photos for an article they did on the story. So I was able to say, here's my Flickr. Search on Continental Club under my name and there's all my photos. Send me a link to whatever one you want and I will download it and send it to you. And that worked out great. So
see, Flicked, we won't have to do the phone call thing. We can just look at his Flickr feed and when we see the last shots from the phone.
Make sure to photograph your death so we know.
Also, one thing to point out too is that when you do upload your phone photos to your Flickr account and to your Google Plus account, they're all set as private, so they're not shared with the world, but anybody that has those accounts. So like all my iPhone photos in Flickr are in a group that's all private to me until I choose to show them.
So even if you were photographing the bear as it was eating you, it just wouldn't necessarily help us.
If I was doing the, time lapse of my own death?
Live stream/death stream.
Periscope. I'm dying.
Meerkatting.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, that's pretty cool. And I'm hoping that, you know, I think as more cloud storage becomes cheaper or, you know, more ubiquitous, it'd be nice to be able to throw just everything up into some kind of web-based server. You wouldn't have to back it up. If I had some reliable online place that I could get if I could upload all my raw files to some kind of, I hate to use the word, cloud-based server or internet-based server, that I could actually pull those files down or even edit them on the server, that'd be kind of cool.
In the cloud.
To the cloud.
The cloud.
I'm guessing you probably want to do that post, you know, Google Fiber or some other kind of higher speed access, right? Though, or else you'd be waiting a long time for that file to just download and show up on your machine to do stuff.
It would be nice if there was some way to access data in the cloud at the same speeds comparable to like what accessing an external hard drive. Maybe not even like a FireWire, or even just USB,
or at least on the search side. I mean, that's one of the things I don't like is when you search like new remote email over that, it seems like it's doing the search locally, so it's kind of index everything. There need to be some protocols where you can say, "Hey, show me an image that looks like this," and it would just Flickr would give it back to you without your phone having to go and search through things.
All kinds of possibilities. We'll think of it. Somebody else needs to invent it.
I think the cloud's going to be the answer to everything. As I look at it.
Well, the last Try by or Fry thing is, you know, Lee told us about insane mode on Teslas, you know, a month ago or a couple months ago. They now, in their most recent call, in a press call, they announced ludicrous mode, which I think we joked about during the show.
It was the next thing.
Which for an extra $10,000 will take the Tesla Model S from 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
we're getting up into some pretty rarefied air here. Barrett, what's the 0 to 60 time on your Ducati?
I don't have a Ducati, but my fastest motorcycle it's the Street Triple, and it's one of the faster 0 to 60s. Mm-hmm. It does in about 3 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's for no gear shifts. That'll blow your hair back.
Yep.
The faster bikes. We'll flirt with 2.8, 2.9, and those are like super bikes. So that 2.8, that'll push you back in your seat.
This is a 5,000-pound sedan.
Yeah, that's a lot of torque. And before you know it, you're going to be at 60 miles an hour. I mean, that's one Mississippi 2, and then boom, you're there.
So that's a lot of speed. I can tell you from having driven the other one that
it's not really balanced all that well. The acceleration, I mean, it's very focused down on the low end. So that 0 to 30 area
really
is instantaneous. And the 30 to 60 is, you know, your face is still plastered to the seat. But above 70 miles an hour or so, it's a lot less like, as it's a lot less ridiculous.
Now, I'm going to let you finish, but I think they should have called Ludacris mode Kanye mode.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, they're going for the Spaceballs reference, though.
Yeah.
But
it's, I mean, and when you look the at reason, the reason. Go ahead, Peter.
The reason Elon Musk is cool is two things. When the press asked Musk if he hoped this would generate additional sales for Tesla, he said, "I have no idea. We're just trying to make awesome cars," which is huge geek cred.
Right.
And then the other thing is a reporter apparently asked Musk what comes after ludicrous mode. And he said that Tesla watchers won't see that level until the company's next generation Roadster comes out in 4 years, which will come with maximum plaid. That's
gone
the best.
To plaid.
Maximum plaid.
Yeah. The, you got to respect Musk, even if you don't like the guy, and because he's got a lot of, you know, apparently gigantic personal problems, if you, you know, read some of the stuff being said about him. But whether any of that's true or not, you have to respect somebody who has made his billions of dollars and is now spending it making super duper fast cars and rockets just to do it. I like that. And he's a car guy, too. His fascination with fast cars, after he made his first big pile, one of the first things he bought was a McLaren F1. and he said more than once that his fascination with making his Model S cars, his Tesla cars, faster and faster and faster is because he wants everybody else to be able to experience that McLaren F1 level of acceleration. And at 2.8 seconds to 0 to 60, this car is actually faster off the line than a McLaren F1. Although if you watch, there's videos of guys who are drag racing, guys who are drag racing these things against other cars. And you can watch these things, these Model S's with the performance upgrades and the dual motors, you can watch them just trample Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all kinds of things off the line. But inevitably, you'll hit that point where as you approach the quarter mile and you get up to about 80, 90 miles an hour, where the supercar reasserts itself and pulls ahead. But in true American car fashion, off the line, there's in a straight line, there is nothing faster.
Well, if they get into like some driving assist with Google and they start to be able to really keep those back wheels connected and they start to give you, driver assisting in corners and stuff like that, you could have like robotic Terminator driver assist car, which would be kind of cool.
It would be kind of cool. Have you seen Google's current self-driving cars are far too friendly looking for that, so they would need something much
more
menacing,
a little
looking,
more aggressive,
more Tesla looking. Those current ones look all like hello.
I mean, that is a good chunk of change, but for 10K you're getting just shy of 100 increase brake horsepower. That's pretty awesome. I don't think you can do that with many other cars. Just go and say, like, hey, here's 10K. Yeah. Give me 100 more horsepower than what I've already got. Especially when you're already talking about an insane 600 and change.
Yeah, it's absolutely just ludicrous. And it's the electric motor, so it's all insta-torque, which you really have to, you can read about it, but you really have to.
Yeah, that's a gear change-free 0 to 60. So,
correct. It just goes. Because there's no transmission. There is a single, well, there's,
but it's CVT,
there's,
right?
No, there is a single, there's a single step-down gear. Per motor. So in the single motor car, there's one step down gear, and the dual motor car, there's one in the front, one in the back. but other than the one step down gear, the revolution of the motor is tied directly to the revolution of the wheels, which actually figures into the top speed, and everything else. So yeah, there is a step down, but there is no variable ratio. It's 1-to-1.
Yeah, it looks like they can spin super fast and not really build much heat.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like it, from another article I found that had more details about it, it sounds like from 0 to 30 that there's not any difference between insane mode and ludicrous mode, because if they just applied all the power, you wouldn't go. You'd just sit there and spin the wheels.
Oh, yeah.
And so they had to actually kind of pull it back. From the beginning, they hold back, and then it fully lights up when you get to a certain speed where it can actually take it. Where
there's
it'll
no,
actually
there's no launch control. And
that's what
no,
I was going to ask.
There's no launch control. There's no traction control defeat.
It may have been Probst or somebody. When one of the professional drivers went to track the car, Tesla said that you can pull. There's a breaker you can pull to defeat the traction control, but it also defeats the anti-lock braking. And on a car with that much horsepower, you don't want to kill the anti-lock braking. So, so no, you can't like flip into the menu and turn it off. But the upside is you don't have to like pull up to the light and like press two buttons and then rev to 3K.
The launch control looked really tough. Like you actually need a co-pilot and a checklist to get some of those cars to launch. Yeah.
No, on the Tesla, the launch control is you put your foot down really fast. And then the car's like, all right, well, we will gradually, over the course of a second or so, apply all that power, and then you're just gone, and you just physically have to start laughing at how violent it is and how crazy it is. It really is difficult to describe, but yeah, the only reaction physically is just to kind of go. That's the noise. You make it. Go try one out. You'll make that noise.
So I think that we could definitely put the Tesla down as everyone on the show would love to try.
Yep.
Ludicrous mode.
It's a six-figure vehicle, though, optioned up. So bring your.
They did announce a 70K single-engine version again, but it's got the larger battery. It's not the same. They haven't brought back the low-end model they had before.
No, it's
a better model than before.
The minimum now, 70 kilowatt hours is their bottom model. Their entry level model.
So there is sort of that one just hangs tantalizingly out of reach for most people buying a car, but it's not quite as far out of reach as the like full on, you know, what is it, 85S or whatever the fancy one is.
The P90D is the new one. So the D is for dual drive and then 90 is the battery, 90 kilowatt hours. And it's, you know, 130, 140, something ridiculous like that. Something that normal people can't spend on a car. It's a house in Detroit. It's actually like two houses in Detroit.
Or 140,000 houses in Detroit, depending on the neighborhood.
It's almost a house in Baytown.
Well, you know, and so we've talked about how to get to 60 fast, but when you hit 88 miles an hour, you can see some serious
science.
Since we're running to the end of the show, just a quick one. This one is more of not announcing something, but announcing an announcement. Apparently, NASA is teasing space enthusiasts, hinting that it may have some big news to announce about other Earth-like planets tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. The Kepler mission, it's a new discovery from the Kepler Space Telescope is going to be shared at a news conference tomorrow morning. So, since obviously the job of the Kepler mission is finding Earth-like planets, then that just may mean they have something exciting and maybe closer than usual or more Earth-like than what we've seen before. But that one certainly that'll be an interesting one to see. And if you have the opportunity, you may want to live stream the conference so you can see it in real time.
All right, more planets. So I did notice that there's an article came out about there's already Pluto deniers, Pluto truthers.
But we didn't really go.
Yeah, it's all faked along with the moon landing. So we got that going.
Gotta love that.
Sometimes the internet is
it, you know, it is the Pluto one is really surreal. I mean, they launch it and it goes for so long, but that's just the, you know, reality of how far away we're talking about going with something like that. The pictures are pretty, it's pretty hard to deny. And especially when something comes in that they can't just immediately explain, you know, it certainly, the thing to me is no matter how well they do on a, like sci-fi movies and all that stuff, how well they do the fake, you know, look at the planet or whatever, it doesn't compare to what you see on picture, like the pictures from Pluto and the pictures of the moons of Pluto and some of the stuff from the space station and that kind of stuff. So it gets increasingly silly, these people who deny that this stuff's happening.
It does.
They're just waiting till we find out that the whole universe is just a hologram, and then they're going to go, see, the whole damn thing, even I am a fake.
Didn't we already discover that the universe was a hologram? Wasn't there some kind of news
we
thing about
that?
We
think it's a mathematical construction, because a lot of the unanswered questions and holes in mathematics could be explained if we were at just a simulation.
Darn it.
Yeah. Sorry to ruin everyone's Wednesday night.
We're a simulation running on somebody's, like, universal Pentium with the universal Pentium equivalent of the FDIV bug.
And that P4 is getting hot.
That's why nothing works.
Yeah. Well, how come nobody's figured out the whole Neo thing so they can reprogram the simulation however they want?
Let me know when
somebody. I guess maybe they did, and it's Donald Trump. He's living his fantasy, but the rest of us have to live in it.
No thanks.
No, please.
I'm good over here.
I don't think we get a choice. If it's a simulation, we have to just play our parts.
Do you know if he's a Jade Helm truther or not? If he believes in Jade Helm.
A Jade Hair truther, I think, but I don't know.
He's friends with Ted Cruz, and Ted Cruz seems to think, you know, that there might be something worth paying attention to with Jade Helm.
Well, okay then. It's got my answer there.
Pete was pretty ahead of the game. The video that he played the audio on, I guess, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when he was in the studio, that's been making the rounds. But a lot of people did not get that was satire. They think that he's
thought that guy
real,
was really...
and if there's a lot of blowback, I'm like, come on, people.
Especially if you're seeing the video, because the video, the audio sounds more exciting than if you see it with the video. If you go back to last week and follow the link, the video is boring. It's a Sam's Club, and it's pictures of, you know, fences with
pictures
tarps
exactly
on them.
What
and,
he says it's pictures of.
And shipping containers. That's it. So, I mean, if you just heard it, if it was a radio report, I could see where you could get cranked
day
up.
Day one, Jade Helm, I woke up, no guns in my house.
The guns were missing from your house?
Jade Helm was so effective.
He stole his guns.
They went back in time and convinced me not to get any.
Wow, that's good.
What about all
It was the ninjas in the shipping containers came and took your guns.
What about all the armed troops in the studio at this very moment forcing us to read from scripts?
Don't make them cock and load their guns.
Everything is fine, Lee.
Alexa. Yes, I mean,
and on that note, we must end the show.
Oh, no!
All right, well, you've been listening to Technology Bites and Echo. I'm Echo.
Echo.
Chamber. All right, well, thanks for tuning in to Technology Bites. What a fun show. Thanks for bringing Echo out.
Alexa.
Geek Gathering, Alexa.
Bring the Bunnymen next week, so that'd be awesome. I wonder if you ask Echo.
We're going to have to make a Bunnyman joke, yeah. Come out and talk to Alexa at the next Geek Gathering.
Yeah.
And bring your own AIs. Bring what you got.
All right. Well, we will see you next Wednesday night for more Technology Bites. I'm Jay Lee.
I'm Peter Hughes.
I'm Flicted.
I'm Barrett.
I'm Lee.
And he's
Groovehouse
for the Siri.
Members, come to one of our signing events at the KPFT station where you can hang out with KPFT staff and volunteers, enjoy light refreshments, and offer your signatures to some of the candidates running for the board. We will be having one on Thursday, July 23rd from 7 to 9 p.m. and a final one on deadline day, Sunday, July 26th from 4 to 6 p.m. Remember, the deadline to run for the local station board is next Sunday, July 26th at 8 p.m. Please visit elections.pacifica.org for more info or contact me, your local election supervisor, Natalie Ortiz, at kpft-les@pacifica.org. KPFT Houston.
You can help KPFT by donating your unwanted vehicle. When you make a donation, your vehicle is resold at an auto auction and the proceeds help to support KPFT. KPFT accepts cars, trucks, motorcycles, and recreational vehicles. Your donation qualifies as a charitable deduction on your federal income tax return because KPFT is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Just call 855-KPFT-CAR to make your donation. Please be ready to share the title, location, and general condition of your car. This information assists the tow company in scheduling appropriate towing arrangements. Again, the number is 855-KPFT-CAR to make your donation. Thanks. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston.